one moment, one fan runs on, security shuts it down, and then suddenly 100 more follow, and now it's unstoppable. That's not chaos, that's people power. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport as I see it is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Watching the Alex Johnson record-breaking try moment when everyone streamed onto the field. It reminded me when I was there at the ground at the SCG when Tony Lockett kicked his record goal, 1,306 or whatever it was, the all-time goal-kicking record in the AFL. And I remember we, after he kicked his, the one that brought him level to the record, we went down to the fence because AFL running on the field's pretty normal, and the security guard said to us, "You won't be running on." And I remember going, "Oh, we'll see and then as he took the mark just before he kicked the record breaking goal, people came from everywhere. I mean, for those that can remember more recently, Buddy Franklin kicking his 1,000th goal, it was crazy. People were running on before he'd even kicked it as he approached the kick. We weren't quite as there was no social media back then, so it wasn't important to get the great shot. But as soon as he kicked it and it was confirmed, people went on, and the security just couldn't hold back. And Just thinking about it, just recently, watching the debacle that's going on in Australia, and probably around the world as well, around petrol prices and them blaming a whole lot of things. I do know I've spoken to people in certain industries where all of their suppliers have guaranteed that they've missed no shipments, everything's coming as normal, and then you think, well, what a stitch up there. That's finding a way to gouge us with prices like they do with all of our energy. Now, I didn't want to come on here and talk politics and talk about all that sort of stuff, but it did make me think, like, people power is really strong. And once that tide comes and it's so big, like again it did with Alex Johnson, there was plenty of talk, you know, will they allow people to come on? There was a lot of security there. The first guy on, they tried to stop and the security guard attacks him. But then when the security guard turns around and realizes that there's literally hundreds of people on the field after only a few seconds, then that was a fruitless task trying to stop them. Also reminded me of Bug's Life, I think it is, when the grasshoppers are mocking the ants, and the head grasshopper says to him, just be careful because they might be smaller, but when they realize that there's more of them than there is of us, we might be in a bit of trouble. And it's just so true. Like that may be what it comes to at some point down the track, maybe not in our lifetime, but maybe eventually people power has to get to that point. There's certainly been many revolutions, and there will continue to be, where the people would say they've had enough. But how do we apply that to like our life now? And I think about what tends to rule in some different spaces is the vocal minority. Now, there are times where the vocal minority is important, but there's also a whole lot of times where we bow to these people because they're the loudest, but they often hold an opinion that's different to everyone else. Local community sport, for example, a club I'm involved in, there's been plenty of times where parents have come in and gone, oh, me and the other parents didn't want to be in this team. We wanted to be in this team. And then when push comes to shove and the club representative asks the other parents, they're like, oh, no, we're fine with how it is. Again, that vocal minority using different people and saying that this is how it's going to be, and so that creates unnecessary tension. And you see it in school environments, you see it in sporting environments where someone stands up and says, oh, what, why have you let this happen, how has this happened, when really majority of the time the problem is that the child and then eventually the parent not taking responsibility for the behavior of the child that wasn't in within the rules, within alignment of what should happen in those different circumstances and within the culture of the organization or the school or football club or whatever it is. Often, the silent, they don't want to rock the boat, they certainly don't want to get in the road of that vocal person that more often than not tends to have a little bit of sway and can get people offside, and then maybe people do want to stand up, and then when some people actually have to then be like assertive and back that person that's going to try and buck the tide, they go to water because they don't want confrontation. So we stay quiet, and then things get in a roll, and we go, how did we get here? And we want to complain about it. So what do we do differently? Well, one of the things is, I mentioned confrontation. We've got to get better at standing up for ourselves and being assertive. I can remember very well when I first did a role at Fox Sports, when I had to go and speak to producers, and I thought I was getting information from them. But what I needed to be doing was dictating to them, this is what we need, can you please provide that back? And a producer at the time, he taught me a great lesson. Unfortunately, this great man is no longer with us, but he was someone who was so helpful to me in those early days at Fox. And he said to me, don't come down here all apologetic. He said, you've got to tell me what you want, what you need, and then I'll tell you how I'm going to fit in around that. Now, he didn't have to do that, but he could obviously tell that I wasn't confident when I was speaking. In fact, probably a little bit sheepish, that I just needed some good advice. And that's something I've never forgotten. And I've made sure I've paid that forward. Really simple lesson. But how often are you able to do that in different situations? How often do you make a softer decision because you're worried about what someone's reaction is going to be? Maybe you're feeling almost apathy. A bit Australian culture can be that like that at times. Rather than rock the boat, I'll just sort of go with the flow. I'll probably complain about it later. But are you guilty of that? Are there times where you need to be assertive, particularly when it means sticking up for what's going on for someone important to you or for yourself or for something that's important for the community? Now, the assertive part, you can absolutely control. You can learn how to be able to have those conversations. You can learn how to control your emotions so that when people are coming at you emotionally and reacting in a really negative or even aggressive way, you're able just to stay calm, stick to the facts, ask good questions, and keep your composure in those situations. As always, I'm usually talking to you guys from a place of experience. I was not good with confrontations. I would have gone to water. I would have definitely reacted emotionally. I would have said something I regretted, and then I would have had that used against me later. Big part of my inspiration was I wanted to be better. I didn't want to be like that. It felt awful. I was spending all my time people-pleasing, trying to keep everyone happy and keeping no one happy, least of all myself. So learning that ability to be assertive and regulate your emotions, particularly on the run, so vital, and tools that I've developed over years to make sure I can do that. Bigger picture, if you're someone that's involved in being a coach, running a club, administration in sport, even in your own business, if it's your business or you're at the top end of the business, or if you're in corporate and you're involved in leading teams or involved in any sort of leadership or management, these are important skills, is to make sure that it's clear on what we stand for, what we don't stand for, and then most important is not tolerate it when people want to steer away from how the agreed method. What I have noticed is that some people will quite happily hide behind ambiguity. So when things aren't clear or they don't want to actually commit to a process or a way of going to do it, they go, oh, no, we won't worry about that now. That gives them an out. Then they can just, create a little bit of confusion and then chaos ensues, and then they become almost like the knight in shining armor riding in to save the day and fix things up. And it just doesn't work. So getting a clear process in place, being able to call out behavior that doesn't line up to that. I'm sure you've worked in plenty of businesses or been in plenty of situations where you know they've got values that are written on the wall, but no one actually lives them, and definitely no one wants to hold anyone else to account. Often the problem comes from the top, and you might find in different times that it's a bit out of your pay grade. So again, you just a bit of apathy. Well, I won't worry about it. But no matter where you are in the chain, you can set that standard from your level, the people that you are working with closely, again, whether that's in a sporting environment, a work environment, and then anyone below you in the chain, the people you coach, the people that you lead in the workplace, if you're the boss of your business, the people that work for you. Put in robust processes. A specific example comes to mind, was at Fox Sports. Looked after three teams there that were as a fairly big part of the on-air process. We were at the starting point. And they would come to these a couple of other different departments. And one department was good, and they'd buy in and go, yes, we need to set some processes. But there was another group there that they were a little bit like that people I talked about before, happy to stick to ambiguity and hide behind that when things went wrong, instead of just taking ownership. Okay, yep, well, we'll do it. Yeah, let's get it all done. So in the end, I had to say, well, I'm going to have this process. You can tell me you agree or you don't. If you don't agree, tell me what needs to be fixed, because we're going to be sticking to this process. And don't come to me later and say that the process is not right, because I want you to agree to this. Whatever you do at your end, that's fine. Take my suggestions, don't, whatever, but we need to have, for our interactions, a really defined agreement on the process. Man, got so defensive. Eventually, though, assertively, kept my control of my emotions and was able to have that conversation. We get to a point where we're all good. And my department was able to absolutely thrive because I had set process and we had accountability. If we made mistakes, we put a hand up. Because we had the process so robust, there were very few times where that happened. But if it did, we owned it, because that's what you do. You take responsibility. So there's a whole lot of steps you can take to make sure that you do get that surge, that swell of people all pulling in the same direction. Whether it's a security guard or that vocal minority or the person you work with who can be difficult, they don't have any choice but to stand aside and let the tide come in. Let the people all be pulling in the right direction. And if we bring it back to Alex Johnson, a lot of those people that said they weren't in favor of people running on, they just talked about how much it made the spectacle. What a way to celebrate that record. And this will be the same. If you can get these things in place, those people that are feeling like they need to speak up because it's unfair and it's all about them, two things will happen. They'll either vote with their feet and they'll move to another business, community, team, club, whatever, or they'll get on board and they'll be your biggest cheerleader because it'll create such a positive shift for them. They've probably never been taught. I've never been taught these things. I talk about my mistakes on here all the time. I talk about the things that I've got wrong and continue to get wrong. But when someone shows me something that works, I'm like, oh man, you've just changed my life, and I will absolutely sing their praises and be their biggest cheerleader. And you'll get people doing the same. Because if you can create a shift in them, if you can help them to see that there's a better way, a way that will help them feel better, to get better results for them, and if they're a parent, for their child as well, mate, they'll love you and they'll be your biggest cheerleader. So that's the challenge. How can you get that swell so even the best security guard can't turn back the tide? You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.